Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me here today on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk, and this is Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG. We're online. We have a live stream at kpcg.fm and at thetrumpet.com. And of course, all of the programming here on KPCG is available as a podcast. And so you can listen to it at your leisure if you can't catch the live recordings and playings of the program. I want to start today with a quote from the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. And if you don't have that course, it's a great course. It's free. It's at thetrumpet.com. Please sign up for that. And it takes you step by step through your Bible and opens up the meaning of your Bible to your understanding. It's a tremendous course. And it says this particular quote says, Jesus Christ will soon return as supreme ruler to establish the world-ruling kingdom of God. It says, but what about you? Will you be one of Christ's assistants in the world tomorrow? How can one be trained to rule with him? And as we'll see, that is the potential that God is offering to his first fruits, to people that are called today, but also in the future, all mankind will have a chance to be born into the kingdom of God and help in a variety of ways. Are we preparing? And those that God is working with today specifically, are you preparing to rule with Christ? It's a very real job. It's a very practical job. And we have to think about it in that way. And now at Christ's return, the kingdom of God will begin to rule all nations of the earth. God's kingdom will finally replace the kingdoms and the governments of man that have caused so much misery if you look back over the last 6,000 years of man's history. And of course, the earth itself has been here for a lot longer than that, but mankind, 6,000 years is what God gave him to be on this earth to try to go his own way after Adam and Eve rebelled. And so man has gone his own way, and what do we see? Well, take a look around, even today, at the different regions of this earth, even in the extremely blessed regions, such as the western part of the world, here in the Western society, the United States, and Britain, look at the division and the political turmoil. On top of just other problems, mounting debt, crime, problems all over the world. And those are in the those are problems that are in some of the better off nations, let alone those nations that have had even greater problems in recent times. That's the result of man's government. Thankfully, at Christ's return, the kingdom of God will begin to rule all nations of the earth, and Christ will be the supreme ruler on earth. Spirit-born Christians will help Christ rule at that time. Spirit-born, meaning made out of spirit, actual God beings. Notice this passage here in Romans 8. If you have a Bible, please get it out. We can look at this together. And if you don't have a Bible with you, that's okay. You can maybe jot it down and take a look at it later. Amazing passages to read and to believe. These are God's inspired words. Romans 8, verses 16 and 17, it says this, the Spirit, talking about God's Holy Spirit, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So when you become baptized and a true minister of God lays his hands upon you and asks God to give you that Spirit, then you have God's Holy Spirit, a portion of it, a beginning payment of it. And it says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are, at that point, children of God. And, of course, as we've talked about before, begotten, not born yet, but still in that growth process. Verse 17 says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And the Bible means exactly what it says here. This is exactly what Paul meant to say, what he meant to have written down, that we are, in fact, these royal heirs. We know what Christ is inheriting. God's given him everything. And we're joint heirs with Christ, rulers of this earth. And so to qualify for that job, we need special training. We have to prepare to rule. Nobody's just born knowing how to do it. We have to be trained. Any job that you have in life, you have to have some training for. You have to know how to do it. Well, this is a big job, the biggest job, and so we need training. God is giving all of his first fruits very special training. And as it says there in Romans 8, sometimes we do suffer with Christ. There are tests and trials that people do experience, and again, they're not easy, of course. We don't mean to downplay that in any way, but it teaches us things. We learn. And we then have that wonderful future to look forward to of being glorified together with Christ. You can read in Revelation what he looks like and how powerful he is. Well, we're going to look the same as that. So do you look at your life as training from God? The day-to-day routine, the ups and the downs, do you see it as very specific training from God? Because it is. For those that God is calling, he is training them and working with them, working with everyone individually in a very special way. We have to see our day-to-day life as a training ground. It's training and preparation for our eternal futures. You know, does Monday matter? Yeah, it matters because it's a training day. How about Tuesday? How about Wednesday? All those days, all the going to work, going to school, all the experiences we have, they matter. And then, of course, most importantly each week is the Sabbath day, the seventh day. That's the day where we really do draw closer to God, even more so than other days. And that's a special day we have to be keeping. And there's a lot more about that at thetrumpet.com if you don't know a lot about that right now. But our life is a training ground. It's preparation. If you think about some biblical examples, I think one that comes to mind probably most readily would be that of King David. Think about King David. You probably know a fair bit about him. Now, he was a young man, and he was tending his father's sheep overnight. He was working the overnights. That's not easy, or at least late into the evening. He was tending his father's sheep. And he could have looked at that as just sort of a menial task, but he really threw his heart into it. And God was preparing him to tend Israel, to be a ruler to Israel, to take care of Israel, to be the king. And a lot of that training began with tending sheep. Now, when he was David, King David, before he was king, when he was learning music, learning to play the harp, did he know at that time that he was being prepared to be in Saul's royal court and play there? I don't think he would have known that. I think he would have had no thought or concept of that. But he was being prepared. He was being trained. And if he was half-hearted in it, you know, he wouldn't have become the cunning player that he was known to be. And did he know when he was protecting his father's sheep from those ferocious animals that he was being prepared to slay Goliath? The giant, the warrior. Did he know that? I don't think so. He was just going about whatever task was in front of him that day and pouring his heart into it and trying to do well. And it was preparing him for things that he probably couldn't have even imagined or dreamed of. And we're all being prepared for even greater things than that. Now, of course, King David will rule over Israel for eternity. He has a very special eternal calling as well. But we all have a special calling by God, those that are called today, to help Christ, to help assist him, to be the bride of Christ. It talks about that in Ephesians 5. This life today, what you are doing today, is preparing you for something great. And we probably can't even conceive of it. It's probably too great to even really even wrap our minds around. Of course, with the help of God's Spirit, we can begin to see it some, but still we have to deepen that vision. But we can't take what we're doing today lightly or think it doesn't matter. It's too easy to do that. It's too easy to get into that mindset of thinking, well, what I'm doing doesn't matter. You know, who cares? And that's not true. God does care, and it does matter. And we're being trained even if we don't see it, or we don't understand what it's for. The correspondence course says the Christian life is the preparation and training necessary for rulership in the eternal kingdom of God. We couldn't ever be part of God's eternal kingdom and family without the preparation that we receive in this life and the training. And the training. Now, that's where it gets to be a matter of us really having the faith that we need to understand that even if we don't understand how we're being trained or exactly what we're learning, we have to keep letting God work with us. You know, sometimes we go through a trial and we don't know why. We don't understand it at that moment. But God knows, and He is preparing us for something, and then we'll look back and say, oh, of course, now I see it. But at the time, we don't really see it. You know, you've probably had that experience if you've taught a child, if you've had a child and you've taught them, or somebody younger than you, and they might think, well, why would it matter to do this, that, or the other? And, you know, well, it matters because of, you know, these other factors down the road that they don't understand yet, but they have to trust you on some level. Well, God knows what He's going to do with each of us, and we don't have all the knowledge yet. We don't know exactly where we'll be utilized or how He'll work with us. We know in general, we can see that from the Bible, the bride of Christ, that reward that's being offered to God's people. But we don't know exactly the ins and the outs of every little thing. But we are being trained, and we have to see that and make sure we put our heart into our day-to-day activities. Now, the kingdom of God is a family as well as a government. It's a government. There's no doubt about that, but it's a family. It's a family government. Notice Daniel 7 and verse 27. Daniel 7 and verse 27, Daniel was dealing with some very real governments in this world. He understood government and what a kingdom was. And he wrote this in Daniel 7 and verse 27. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to who? Well, to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey Him. The whole kingdom, God's kingdom, His government, His rulership, it's going to be entrusted to the people of the saints of the Most High. Christ ruling, and then, of course, God the Father above all. But many offices, many positions that God's people are being trained for today. It's an everlasting kingdom. It's everlasting. You can look at Revelation 20 and verse 6, and that shows that God's resurrected, spirit-born first fruits are going to reign with Christ 1,000 years after His return. That's in the millennium. That's pictured by the Feast of Tabernacles. And then if you combine that with Revelation 22 and verse 5, you see that they go on from there, God's family, and they reign forever and ever. So it just keeps going and it keeps expanding. You know, if you want job security, which we all do, this is job security. This is the ultimate job security. Here's a job and an office that lasts forever. That's a long time, of course. Can't even really wrap our minds around that right now. But it goes on, and it grows, and it expands, and it's exciting, and it's always moving forward, never stagnant, never boring. But it's an eternal job. We're being prepared for an eternal job. It takes a little while to be trained for something like that. It takes a while. These are eternal positions that we are being trained for. And these jobs, of course, they seem far off in the future sometimes, I guess. But think about what it will be like looking back after a few hundred years of being a spirit-born son of God. Just a few hundred years. That's nothing in the realm of eternity. But just a few hundred years into it, and you look back and we'll think, wow, those 70 or 80 years of human life or whatever we had, that wasn't very long at all. That was quick. That wasn't much. And as people get older, they see that. They realize that time flies. You know, a week to a 5-year-old child is a lot longer than a week to a 75-year-old man. Right? When you're a child and somebody says, "Oh, that'll happen in a week," you think, "Oh boy, how am I going to make it? This is a whole week." If it's something you're looking forward to, but it's nothing as you get older. We know that it's a week. It's before you blink, it's gone. Well, when we're eternal God beings, and we look back on this training period and this life, I can't even imagine how short that's going to seem. But it's so necessary. This training period is so necessary, and God knows that's exactly what the time that we need to prepare for what He's offering us. Time flies by. We want to make the most of it. We want to make the most of this training opportunity. It doesn't come around again. The Correspondence Course says, "The kingdom of God, with Christ as king, will rule over all mortals on earth. And the law by which Christ and the immortal saints will rule is the law that expresses the loving nature and character of God, the Ten Commandments." So now we're getting into some more practical instruction about this. We do want to be trained, and we do want to be prepared to be part of the kingdom and family of God. So what kind of training do we get? What kind of training do we receive? Well, we do go through some tests and trials, and we are educated, and we learn about God's law. And then we have to put God's law into practice today. That's where the rubber meets the road, as they say, as the expression goes. We have to live by God's Ten Commandments today. Are there some areas that you need to grow in? Well, of course, right? That's everybody. There are areas to grow in, for sure. And that doesn't have to be discouraging. It should be a positive and forward-moving growth, but it's a reality that there needs to be growth and development in obedience to God's law. Notice James 1 and verse 22. Here's a short verse, but boy, a lot in there. James 1 and verse 22, it says, "But be you doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Well, we can hear the word of God, but if we don't do it, then we are actually deceiving our own selves. Self-deception is a very powerful form of deception. Mr. Fleury, Trumpet editor-in-chief, Mr. Gerald Fleury, he writes this in his book, How to Be an Overcomer, which if you don't have that, please get it at thetrumpet.com. It's just so valuable and valuable to look over year after year. But it says that is serious self-deception. If you don't apply what you learn in God's word, it is of no value. Every one of us needs to examine ourselves, he writes, because we have all made this mistake. And so think about that for a moment. I mean, everybody at some point has been self-deceived, or we do deceive ourselves. Because why? Well, because we hear the word of God, but then we don't do it. Self-deception. And we could think, well, I heard it. That sounds good, and I agree with that. But if we don't do it, like he said, it's of no value to us. We see that all the time in society, just in very physical things, where people are trying to lose weight, and that's an issue that a lot of people struggle with in society. And they hear about exercise and good diet, but they don't do it in some cases, and they don't have success. And then some do, and those that do, they really make some great strides. And again, we've all had our shortcomings there, so I don't mean to single anybody out, but it's just an example. It can be anything, and we all have had those moments where we hear something, we agree with it, and we think, well, that's good, and then we just don't do it. And it's not of any value to us at that point. So when we look at the Word of God, that's especially the case. It's self-deception if we hear it, agree with it, but then don't do it. Mr. Fleury writes, "We must keep and do all the words of God. Nothing else counts. Is it possible? You will be one who only takes action when it is too late." That's quite a question to consider. You know, there are times, again, where maybe somebody's living an unhealthy lifestyle and they do it for years and they don't take it too seriously until they almost die. And then it's very serious because they know that if they don't do something now, that's it, you know, physically speaking. And then it becomes very real. And then they think back, oh, I wish I had, you know, made some changes years ago. That, again, and not to single anybody out because we all have those moments, but we don't want to be in a habit of living this way. I think it was Winston Churchill who talked about that, how you know, mankind often just ignores things until that alarm of survival kicks in. You know, he was warning the British people about the Nazis before World War II, and most just didn't listen to him or scoffed at him until it was almost too late. And then people woke up because they were in that immediate danger. Well, we don't want to be in that mindset of ignoring things until it's too late. And God has a wonderful future in store for us, but we have to be willing to follow his way of life today and grow and overcome spiritually. So we don't want to believe the lie that what we do doesn't really matter. You know, there is that lie out there, especially in some religions, where they say, well, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, Christ died for your sins. Well, he did die for sins of mankind, of course, but man has to repent to be forgiven. Man has to repent and change and then can be forgiven because of Christ's sacrifice. What we do does matter. It really does. And so we have to make sure that we're moving forward. Now, nobody's going to earn salvation. All any human has earned is death because of sin. Salvation's a free gift from God. But we, of course, have to be submitting to God and growing, and then he'll give us that free gift. And he'll also do something else. He will reward us according to our works, according to the things that we do in this life. Notice this. This is in Matthew 16. This is Christ's own words here. Matthew 16 and verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. So does it matter what we do today? It does on so many levels, including the fact that we're rewarded according to our works. So if we're supporting God's work and we're growing and developing and, of course, doing it all by the power of God's Spirit, then there's a reward for that. God will bring a reward. He'll give us a reward when Christ returns. The correspondence course says, in God's government will be many important offices of responsibility. God will give these responsibilities to those who have qualified for them during their training period. See, there's a qualification. It's just like any job. You know, if you had somebody that wanted to do plumbing in your house, you'd want a qualified plumber, right? You wouldn't want somebody who said, well, I never really paid much attention, but I think I could probably figure it out when I get in there. You know, that wouldn't be a very high reviewed person on one of these apps that they review handymen on. That would be one star or no stars. Nobody would want that person to come to their house because they didn't train. They're not prepared. That's a simple thing. It's a physical thing compared to the things that God has for us. So we need to be training and we need to be preparing. The course continues and says, in complete fairness, all will be rewarded according to the works they did during their Christian lives. God's going to be very fair about it. It says, and because every member, when born into God's family, will be completely yielded to God's government, everyone will be completely satisfied with the responsibilities and power God will give them. There's not going to be belly aching and complaining and, oh, why did so-and-so get that job? I only got this job. You know, people will be satisfied. They'll be in the right attitude, and of course, you know, some will be rewarded more than others, but everyone will receive what they're prepared for, what they're trained for, what they're ready for, and they'll love the job that they have. Competitiveness and vanity and jealousy and those things that are of Satan, those won't be there anymore, and people will work hard at the responsibility that they've been given. And so God's training us in this life, and he trains all of us in different ways. And there's an important point here to think about as well, that if we aren't satisfied with what God is doing and how he's training us, you know, it could indicate that we have a bit of a government problem there, that we don't like what God's doing with us. And so we have to be careful there because God knows what to do with us. He knows how to work with us. He knows how to train us, and we have to be responsive to that training, of course. But we're not supposed to compare ourselves amongst ourselves. We need to look at God and look at Christ. Those are our perfect examples there. Look at that and measure ourselves, and then we find out we don't measure up and keep working to to grow and to change and be satisfied with the way God's working with us today in preparation for the future. And then we can really embrace that. We can really embrace God's training and make the most out of this wonderful opportunity we have in this life to be trained for our eternal jobs in the future, in the kingdom of God. That's all the time we have for this edition of Live by Every Word. Thanks for spending some time with me today. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.